Welcome to Expert Extra, a new feature of the Inside 254 podcast, where we sit down with an expert in a field to help us and you make sense of current events. We hope you enjoy it. Join us for our first fundraising event at 12:30 on Saturday, June 17th. We'll have yoga, wine, and games at Shine Yoga Center in Perkasie, Pennsylvania. Start with a 45-minute yoga class with Inside 254 co-host Colleen, enjoy a glass of wine, and play Pin the Cafeve on Trump. Support Inside 254. Visit our Facebook page to RSVP. Starts at 12:30 on June 17th. See you there!
This is Colleen, and I'm here with Heather Lopes for this week's Inside 254 Expert Extra. And Heather is a licensed professional counselor and psychotherapist in New Jersey. She has 15 years of experience, and currently she works with adult individuals. She started her work with women's trauma, and that's what brings us together today. Because Heather, when she watched Big Little Lies, wrote to me and expressed her concern with how Celeste's therapist was portrayed. So I said to her, well, can you come on and give us a little bit more clarity as to why that portrayal was an issue? So Heather, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
So let's get started right away. Can you tell us why you are concerned with the way Celeste's therapist was portrayed?
The thing that bothered me about the therapist that Celeste was seeing, initially what bothered me was that Celeste and her husband were meeting with the therapist, and the therapist seemed to notice that there might be some abuse going on. Typically, in a situation like that, when you are seeing a couple and you suspect that there might be some abuse, usually a therapist will meet with each of the husband and the wife separately to assess, because anytime you think there might be abuse, you don't want to talk about it in front of the abuser because it puts the woman in a very compromising situation that can be dangerous for her. Luckily for Celeste, she seemed to need it herself. She knew that this was going on, and she went individually to see the therapist.
So if I remember the show correctly, she ends up going individually because her partner is away.
Correct.
So that's just by chance.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing you say is a therapist would normally not engage with that in the couple session, and then what? Request, or maybe like softly kind of say, maybe I should see you each individually?
Correct. Yes. Okay. That's typically the way you want to do it, so that you can have, you can assess each person by themselves and get a sense of what's going on, and then probe further with the woman who you think, or man who you think, might be a victim of abuse.
So why would that put Celeste's character in danger? And I come from in the 1990s, I did my rape and domestic violence training and learned a lot about empowerment counseling. So there was a lot that I bristled at, but I really want to know, like, from a much deeper perspective, what is the issue? So why would that put Celeste in danger? Why did it seem so strange to you watching those scenes?
Full disclosure, I'm not a couples therapist, but in my background, I did have some training working with couples, and definitely working with women who were victims of domestic violence, survivors of domestic mm-hmm. violence. So the reason that it would put her in a difficult situation is you're basically, if the abuse is coming up, you're putting the survivor in a place where it's sort of a catch-22. She's got to figure out how to react to what the therapist might be bringing up in the session without endangering herself, without provoking in some way that there might be repercussions later, that she might be provoking her partner and not really know that she's doing it. So there's no safety. And that's the most important thing when you're a therapist, is to make your patients feel safe.
So, and I think that those scenes really show us the complicated nature of being a therapist, because what is that like to fear for the immediate safety of a client and also come from a place where you want to have, I mean, it seems to me like you should want your client to come to it on her own or on their own. So I see you nodding. Tell us about it.
So that leads me into the part of it that really bothered me. The sessions that she had, the therapist had with Celeste, first of all, they had very few sessions together, and it does take some time to build trust with your therapist. This is a person that you don't know. You don't have a relationship with them. It's all new. You need to take some time to develop something with that patient or client. So it happened very quickly. I know it's film, but I got the sense watching it that the therapist felt a sense of urgency.
Yes.
She was worried about this patient. And I also felt, and I think this is where my visceral reaction to this came in, that the therapist was having what we would call a countertransferential reaction to the patient. In other words, something that the patient was bringing into the room was causing a reaction in the therapist. This happens all the time. Therapists are human beings. You can't really stop what you're feeling, but you have to work with that to benefit the person in front of you. So what I didn't like about what was portrayed in the film about the therapist was that she became very pushy.
Yes.
She became very directive. One session.
What do you mean by directive? Can you tell us a little? Can you tell us what you mean by that?
She was telling her what to do.
Yes. The part where she's like, you need to get an apartment, and also the smacking of privilege that we talk about in our episode. That was very hard for me to stomach.
Yes. I agree with that, and I felt that, and I told her, go and get yourself an apartment, set it up with furniture, get all these things in place. Not everyone can do that. Regardless of your socioeconomic status, though, any woman who's in a situation like that needs to be empowered. And this therapist essentially disempowered Celeste by telling her what to do rather than coming at it with a more feminist strengths-based perspective where you're working together as equals and you are allowing the patient to come up with her own plan, her own, and vital when you are working with a patient in a domestic violence situation that they have a safety plan. That was good that she did that, but the patient needs to come up with her own because only, in this case, a woman, only the woman knows the right time to leave. And if you notice in the film, it did not work out so well for Celeste. This
Tell
is
what,
what
you mean.
Pushed her.
What do you mean?
This is what pushed This is what pushed her husband
over
the edge. Was that he, as a lot of abusers do.
Well, and we also find out there in the moment he's also a rapist, right? So so these two instances, I think we're to assume that he's a domestic abuser and a rapist, right? These two situations where agency is taken away from women. So I feel okay saying calling him that, even if you don't.
Yes, yes. I was thinking more of the domestic violence situation, but yes, we do find out later he's a rapist.
So you can call him what you want.
Yeah.
Is what
he's
I'm
an abuser. And what you find in an abuser is that they're very controlling. They don't allow the survivor to have a sense of autonomy or space. She discusses this with her therapist, which was excellent. She went into the kind of isolation that he wanted her to be at home. He didn't like her to be out with her friends. He didn't like that she was working, and he had every excuse for that. But if the therapist was saying, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to have this set up, it's not what Celeste wanted. And for me as a therapist, that was what affected me so greatly, is that therapists are in a very special role where they can sometimes have power. And you can't take someone who is in a disempowered situation in her marriage and then you also become the person who's taking her power away. That does her no good.
So what I hear is that in the immediate moment, that might work, but it's not sustainable because it's not her own autonomy. Right. And so she's not creating her own plan. So maybe in the immediate moment, yes, it does protect her. But you're also saying, though, that there were lasting consequences because of what happens because she didn't have autonomy. And then that's where, in your mind, the violent situation, and everybody who's listening to this will have watched it, the situation where he's killed by the group of women, you think stems from, that's her autonomy. That's her expression of autonomy because she didn't have it in her other situation.
her expression of autonomy at the end when he is pushed over the ledge.
She didn't push him. That's right. She doesn't push him. So, yeah, it's the yoga teacher. It's the yoga teacher. We just came from yoga. So that's why that's funny.
Yes. So in my mind, she never reached a point of autonomy.
Okay.
Maybe her at the end when they're supposed to go to the school fundraising event, he passes right by and they pull off overlooking, you know, California. And she gets lucky because people come up to the car and she catches her moment. She knows she has a moment where she can escape and she gets out of the car and she flees.
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't killed at the end of the movie, I don't know what would have happened to her.
Good point.
But she still did not have that feeling that she created safety herself. And I think that that is what I feel it's a bit of maybe misinformation being put out there in terms of what therapists do and how I would work with a patient like this. And so I think that's really what affected me, that no, this is not how it goes typically.
Yeah.
I think that I did not read the book. I don't know if it would be different in the book, but it also seemed like the countertransference reaction of the therapist could be that she was in a similar situation and she was overcome with her own feelings of fear and need to urgently, immediately get this woman to safety. And I understand that, but it's not what was best for Celeste, ultimately.
And you got me thinking now about autonomy and how even the story that they all the women tell is told to her by somebody else. I can't remember who's whispering it to her, but even the story they craft as the female community at the end is not her idea. So I would have to think more about that, but really, that's what we talk about in the episode, is that it's, to me, the ending was not satisfying except for that female community idea at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And now I never even thought about, like, well, what would happen if he didn't die? Because he knows where her apartment is, right? So all the things that were hatched by some outside force, by the therapist, right, that were put into motion aren't sustainable. So what the therapist thought she was doing as maybe helpful, taking away the autonomy. It seems like it's going to be helpful, but taking away autonomy and just bossing somebody around
yes.
also doesn't help.
In the session that she has with Celeste, what the therapist has with Celeste, where she's talking to her about this opens up in the room for them. There's abuse going on. It's very dangerous. He could kill you. Then the therapist goes into this place of almost shaming her.
Yes.
She enacts this lawyer, the therapist becomes this lawyer.
Right. Yes.
Almost mocking her. Really not good.
Yeah.
She was doing it, I think, to get the point across to Celeste. This is dangerous. You need to do something now. Get it together. Think about what's going on. And that's just not how a therapist should operate.
So the last thing I want to ask you about is if you can help us just really understand, you know, what is it like to be in that position?
Mm.
Can you help humanize that for us? Because I think we probably both agree the therapist is doing that out of a place of concern, right? It's just not good practice. So what is that like when all you want to do is kind of make sure that person is safe, but at the same time, you know that that isn't really the best way to help that person?
It's really, really difficult, especially starting out when you're a new therapist and you're doing trauma work and the person is currently in a situation of abuse. We're helpers.
Right.
We want to help people. We want to make things better in their lives. It's a really, really strong pull to want to get this person into safety right away. And you have to check yourself and you have to understand those feelings that you're having, acknowledge them and be aware of them and know that you really care about this person, you want to help them, and remind yourself what is the best way to do that. So it is very difficult. And I did identify with the therapist in some ways because I could understand her feeling pain. And she I think had at some point a very emotional reaction. They both got up and
yeah.
I think she might have touched her or seemed like she wanted to hug her. And I totally get that. And it's important to have that when you're a therapist and you're working with women who are survivors, because if you didn't feel something for them and want to help them, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Right.
But you just always have to remind yourself and think about it and analyze it and process it and maybe consult about it and maybe talk to your own therapist about it. What is going on inside of you? What is happening for you? And how can you work with what you're feeling in order to help that other person?
Heather, I want to thank you so much for giving us some more perspective on the therapy scenes in the show and helping us really see the bigger picture too, right? What is at stake for these usually women in this situation, and also the challenges of actually helping and enabling and empowering these women to make their own decisions, even though in the immediate, that must be really challenging. So thank you so much for giving that to our listeners.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this Expert Extra. For more information on our podcast and to find episodes, please visit Inside254Site, that's S-I-T-E, .wordpress.com. You can find us on Podbean and iTunes, and please follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest. Thanks for listening.